always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us for Connecting Faith this Friday. My name is Joe Rathmanner. Happy to be able to guide you through this hour. And we're just so glad that you're listening. I hope you had a wonderful week. Wow, the weather here, it is so stupendous. I love fall in the Midwest. Well, since we've chatted, I just had a rich week of talking with women. I spoke at a retreat last weekend in Amory, Wisconsin, also another beautiful fall-like place. And well, I said goodbye at the end of that weekend after sharing some of my stories. This week, I just got to hear a lot of other stories from women who were there. And I was just so encouraged to hear from them about what's going on in their life, what God's been doing in their life, because there's just something that's powerful when people open up and share their stories with other people. And I just think God just smiles when he hears that, because it means that people are talking about their encounters with him. So some stories are joyful, others were gut-wrenching, but many were just stories of how God had really gotten through to them in a place of deep hurt or maybe a trial in their lives. So what a privilege to get to be part of that conversation. Well, speaking of stories, maybe you have gone through some suffering or a very difficult trial in your life. And in those dark moments that kind of threaten to derail you, where is God there? And what do you think of him and how he thinks of you? Our guest today has a very, very powerful story to tell, one that will hopefully start to answer that question for all of us and give us hope, hope to persevere despite the hurt that we're in. So let me introduce you to him. Danny Gokey is a musician, and his name is likely familiar because you met Danny likely in your living room when he competed for American Idol season 8. Danny finished in the top 3, and wow, I remember watching him and remember him being a fabulous singer, but I also remember his story, and perhaps you do too. He's written a book about finding hope in the face of difficult circumstances called Hope in Front of Me: Find Purpose in Your Darkest Moments. So let's meet Danny and hear from him. We can go back and hear his story again in case you missed it. Welcome, Danny.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for taking time to talk to us. I know you are on a whirlwind media tour here, and I hear that I'm catching you in an airport somewhere.
Yeah, I just checked my bags recently, and I didn't have enough time to go through security, so I had a I just had to sit out for a second. been doing a lot of promo for this book and traveling to a show this morning, but it's been fun. This is a really great time in my life. I'm very excited I get to share the message of hope and that God has entrusted me with it.
Well, I'm just so happy that you had some time to join us here. Congratulations on your book, and I hear you have a new single coming out in the next month or so.
Yeah, we have a new single coming out. It's called Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, and then also the book, Hope in Front of Me, Find Purpose in Your Darkest Moments. And so, and then I just signed a recording deal with BMG, which is why the single's coming out, but I'm working on the full-length album. It's interesting. We're doing book tour and creating the album. It's a lot of work, and plus I have a family, and so it's been just a lot of work, but it's a lot of good things. This is the kind of good work that I want, you know?
Absolutely. Well, a lot of people loved watching you, Danny, loved following along in the competition. Was it everything that you had hoped it would be?
For me, it was everything and more, because, I mean, I had just walked, you know, just 1 month before trying out for the show, I lost my first wife. And I needed hope. I needed something to take my mind off of that very tragic situation. And so to me, it couldn't have happened at a better time. And it's so funny because, you know, God writes our stories. And he has this amazing ability to put us in these places and just have the right thing at the right time. And that's what it was for me. Me and my first wife, Sophia, you know, we had planned that year to try out for the show. I watched the show with her that year, and she was a big fan. I never really got to watch it because I was working so much. But when we started, we got DVR and started recording it, I got to come home late at night and watch it with her. And it was that year that I decided I was going to try out. And a little did I know that 1 month before the audition, she was going to pass away. And what makes it even more difficult is that it was the last year that I could try out because I was 28. Mm-hmm. So 4 weeks before the audition, I'm faced with this. I don't want to do this. I'm a mess right now, and I'm broke, and I'm hurt. I need a year off. But then again, I made a promise. You know, what do I do? And so I dragged myself out of bed, and I put one foot in front of another. And the show was an amazing experience, but it gave me hope, and it gave me the ability to fulfill a dream in the midst of a dark time.
Danny, competing at that stage, I mean, with that level of pressure and stress, there had to be some times during those weeks of competition when you were overwhelmed with that pressure. But the grief and the grief that you were experiencing, I mean, on top of that, what was that like?
Yeah, you know, I as much as I loved being on a show and I'd have my moments, I had some really extreme lows, like you just mentioned. And there were times where I was questioning myself because the pressure of the show is so intense. You know, first of all, you have to go out there and you have to not only pick a song and learn it, but then you have to rearrange it. And I was raised in church and I was a praise and worship leader, so I never really listened to a whole lot of radio because I was always arranging parts. I actually led worship for two churches. Mm-hmm. And so I was working with two choirs and I'm arranging music and I'm getting stuff ready. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to listen to Top 40. And so while I was on the show, I was had a learner show. You know, a lot of people, the contestants I was with, you know, they were very familiar with a lot of stuff. I wasn't. And so I was trying to learn the stuff, then trying to arrange it to bring my own originality. And I remember those times when I was, you know, in the process, just like I would have to just have those moments where I just had to cry it out. Because first of all, I just lost my love, my wife, and now I'm on this high intense show, and I believe God has put me there, but yet at the same time, I don't have all the answers, and I don't have it all figured out, and I got to figure it out as we go. So the pressure was definitely intense.
In your book, Hope in Front of Me, I was reading what you wrote, and I'm going to read it to you and then just let you respond. You had written, "I was really angry with God, but God was the only one who could help. And now I feel like I know God more intimately than ever before." Can you talk a little bit more about that, how that worked out?
Well, you know, it's the reason why we get angry at God is because we don't know him, you know, and that's the problem because, you know, we see things as they are, I guess, in the physical realm, we see them as we see them, but we don't know everything behind it. And so in my mind at this time, I was upset because, and rightfully so, because all these years of praying, you know, Sophia was born with a heart condition, and, you know, we've decided, you know, in the first year of marriage, okay, so she was born with it, had a surgery at birth, and then at 7 years old, she had a surgery. And so when we met at 16, I just thought, hey, everything's fixed, because we dated for 6 years, nothing was wrong. And so then in our first year of marriage, all of a sudden she's having these heart complications, and I'm thinking like, all right, the doctor says we need to do a surgery. I remember we both cried it out in his office because we weren't expecting this. We were ready to have a family. And he said, I highly advise against a family because, you know, it could put her in a very bad predicament. And so at this point, you know, we decided that we were going to pray. We're both raised in church. And, you know, if you read the Bible, you understand that God answers prayer. Mm-hmm. And everywhere Jesus went, he touched everybody. But then for some reason, the dots didn't connect with me. 4 years of praying, because that's how long she went through this process of being in and out of the hospital and then prepping for the heart surgery. And all of a sudden, in one moment, it was all snatched away. And I was just a mess. And I didn't want to be mad at God. And I think, you know, a lot of listeners, they don't want to be mad at God and they don't want to have these feelings. But what do you do when they come? And what do you do when all you see is, you know, one side and you can't see that spiritual side, which you're supposed to see? And so I remember just being really angry because, you know, I didn't see everything, but he was my only hope. And I knew if I was angry at him, then, man, there really wasn't going to be any help. And so I decided to say, you know what, God, even though I'm angry at you, please help me. And he did, and he gave me answers. And not only that, but he gave me the solution that I needed. And then he restored double to my life. And that's why I said I know him more than I ever have before, because when you know him, even when bad things happen, you say, but this is not God. I mean, this is, you know what I mean? This is not his character. There's more to this than what I'm seeing right now.
Well, you've done something amazing with the pain that you've been through and, of course, the success that you've had as well. I'd love to, after the break, hear the story of what you did with that life insurance money that came as a result of your wife's death and how that you're using that to inspire hope to other people. So we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break, if you can hold on just for a minute. We're talking with Danny Gokey today. He was a top three finalist, of course, on American Idol and now a successful recording artist in his own right. But he's also done something pretty amazing by starting a charity, and we're going to hear about that when we come back right after the break. And by the way, if you are tuning in and looking for the conversation and wondering what happened to my women, they are still here. Julie and Cindy and Heather, they are still here. Their show, The Conversation, airs on Saturdays at noon, and also you can catch it online anytime by just clicking on the show and listen to the podcast in that way. So we'll be back right back on Connecting Faith.
In the instinct to protect ourselves, we become afraid. We're afraid that by forgiving someone and letting the person off the hook, that God will not take care of or avenge us. I get it. Developing trust takes longer and can only happen by choosing to forgive. Perhaps the one we need to forgive will never change direction, but we still can forgive. I had to forgive someone again. And so again I had to say, I choose to forgive. God supply what I need to have the feelings to go with it. And it was weird because I didn't want to let go of it. I was still so busy rehearsing the hurt and how I could have, should have, and wanted to go back and say or not say things. It helped when I thought, what if God gives me the same kind of limited forgiveness I want to give this person who's hurt me? You know, I don't want my kind of forgiveness. The part that is difficult is treating the person with love, kindness, and grace like God treats me. But He promises to take care of me, and my responsibility is to trust Him every day. Find encouragement for your day at DebbieGriffith.com.
Well, that is a hit from Danny Gokey. I will not say goodbye. Great to hear your voice, Danny, and also great to be able to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us for Connecting Faith.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
In your book, you talk about something that you were able to do that God allowed you to do and gave you the resources to do, which was set up just a wonderful program for other people who are suffering. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so, you know, I always tell people, you know, how God writes our stories, and God says it in Psalm 139, how every day of our life is written. And sometimes you just got to turn that page and embrace the new chapter. Well, one of the things that happened for me unexpectedly is me and my first wife struggled financially for a very long time. And so we were married a total of 4 years, but three of those 4 years of marriage, we had to live with people. And so, you know, so when we finally got our own place, it was tight financially. And so I would always look for ways to try to save money. And one of those ways is, we were getting health benefits through my job. And so if we would switch to her job to get the health benefits through them, it would save us some money each month. And so when we did that, maybe 9 months before she passed away. And little did I know that when she passed away, there was a death stipend that was attached to the insurance policy. And so they gave me a check 2 weeks after she passed away for $39,000. Initially, I was offended because I was like, man, how dare this company put a price tag on my wife? But then I knew that money wasn't mine, and I said, you know what? I'm going to use this money for something bigger. And honestly, blindly, I started a nonprofit organization called Sophia's Heart. I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew is that I wanted to somehow turn this, what I felt was an evil situation, into something good. But little did I know that God was orchestrating my steps, because I started right before I went on the show, and about 2 years later after I started it, I felt like God gave me a very huge endorsement. A man who I did not know, and he did not know me. He just knew about what we were doing in Nashville. He heard about my organization, and he gave me a 77,000 square foot facility for free.
Wow.
It's worth $4 million. And, you know, at this time, we were just doing music and arts programs. Before we got the building, we were doing music and arts programs with kids. There was a flood that hit Nashville. We were helping out with flood relief and helping out with food and stuff like that. So now when we got this facility, it just expanded our vision, and I felt like God put a seal of approval on me and said, listen, I'm behind you in what you're doing. And so now what we do at that facility in Nashville, we still do music and arts for children, but we now take in homeless families. And so we provide music and arts for the children, and for the mom and dad, we provide dream building and education. So we house them in this facility. It's a big facility. It has 50 rooms, and I'm constantly out trying to raise support, because not only is this facility we just don't put them in any old place. We're redoing the facility right now, and we're making it beautiful. You know, because Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to Him. God takes it very personal how we treat people. And so we put these families in a place that we want Jesus to stay in. So it's a beautiful place. And not all of it's beautiful yet, because we're still trying to raise money, but these families are finding hope. And that was the key for me. I found out how, when I was walking through a hopeless situation, that I need to find something to focus on other than the hopelessness. And the dream was for me to have a career and was American Idol. So when the families come into our program, we provide their basic needs, food, shelter, clothing, stuff like that. But then we say, why did God put you here on this earth? and we try to connect them with their dream, and we create programs that help them design their future.
And as you were coming up with this, you called it Sophia's Heart. Were these things that were close to Sophia's Heart? Why the music programs? Why for homeless families? How did that come about?
You know, I remember when I was a praise and worship leader at the churches, and the church couldn't, you know, pay me enough. I was doing both churches. They were about 75 miles apart, so you can imagine I was working a lot. I took a full-time trucking job, so I worked around the clock. But there was one ministry at our church that I really, really liked, and it was the outreach program that would help provide clothing and food and furniture for people who were struggling. And so I always found myself out there. My first wife, Sophia, was always helping with the kids. Because I always felt like, you know, I could do praise and worship, I could sing for God, but, you know, God says when you do it for the least of these, that's when, it counts. You know, not that praise and worship doesn't count, but I just felt like that was very special to his heart. And Sophia felt the same way. And so when I went to start this venture, I knew I wanted to help people who maybe society cast away, who didn't maybe view them or maybe prejudge them and said, well, if they would just get a job. And I knew God doesn't look at us like that. And so I wanted to touch that community.
Hmm. You also write in your book that God does have purpose for pain. And can you just elaborate on that? I know that a lot of our listeners, well, maybe they haven't lost a spouse, that they have gone through pain where they're feeling like they don't have hope as well. Can you just talk about that purpose in pain?
You know, there definitely is purpose for pain, but it becomes purpose when you hand it to God and you put it in his hands. It's interesting. There's one thing I don't share in the book, and that's a year before, well, in 2007, God told me I was going to write a book. He specifically showed me I was going to write a book. And that might sound spooky, people, but you know what? It's the truth. I'm only telling you the truth. And when he spoke that to me, I just thought that was so odd. And I said, God, I said, I love you and I'm serving you. But I said, and I would do anything for you, but who would care if I wrote a book? Little did I know, a year from when God showed me that, I was going to lose my first wife. Mm-hmm. And I was going to start this organization with that check and Trial for American Idol. You know what that showed me when I look in hindsight? That God was getting ready to create a story for my life that I didn't know existed, and more than that, create a message and a testimony. And, you know, I know there's some cliche statements out there, but it's the truth, and it goes that sometimes you have to go through a test to get that testimony, and sometimes you have to walk through a mess to get that message. And that's what happened to me. It's almost like God set the steps in motion, and this is what I say to the listeners and the viewers who are listening, is that what you're going through right now, as bad as it is, God might have you walking through that because he's wanting to form a message inside of them, and he wants them to have a testimony that they can share with other people. I started learning, and I share this in the book, that sometimes what we're going through is bigger than us. But also at the same time, those things can take us out if we don't keep the faith and we don't keep the right perspective. And so there's a lot more going on than we can see. And I really encourage the listeners to persevere, stay focused, don't give up on God. Just keep putting one foot in front of another and don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in the whys. Don't get stuck in rehearsing, you know, all the bad things that didn't go your way. But keep moving forward, because as you keep moving forward, you're going to see that what the enemy meant for evil, God can take and make really good.
So a lot of course, wonderful things have happened since that time. And one of them is that you are remarried and you have a new child, correct?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What was it like to be able to find love again after enduring the loss that you did?
Man, I'll tell you, that's the part when I was in my despair and I was in that moment where I wanted to take my life because I was so upset at how things weren't going. And I didn't want to live anymore. You know, I fell into such depression during this time when she first passed. And even though I was going through the American Idol auditions, that depression was starting to weigh heavier and heavier on me, mm-hmm. because I couldn't make sense of everything. And I remember there was a point where I knew, like, taking your life is wrong, but I felt like it was the only answer, you know, because I just wanted to get away from the pain. And I'm so glad I didn't despair. I'm so glad I didn't just throw the towel in, because I would have never experienced the new chapter that God had for me. And even though I couldn't see it, it was already there. God already had it planned. And one of those chapters was, you know, was not only American Idol, not only Sophia's Heart helping homeless families and taking them in, but it was getting remarried, falling in love again, and having a beautiful son. Mm. I have a son. I never saw this during that time. And I'm so happy.
So how has having a son affected how you feel toward the people that you are actually trying to help at Sophia's Heart?
You know, it makes it more personal than ever before. You know, I can handle it. You know, there's been times in my life growing up, and I share in the book, where I had to live in a closet. I was renting a closet. I was, like, basically living in my car. I mean, I was doing all these things. But for me to think if my son had to go through that, it changes the game.
Hmm.
You know, and so, and then when you kind of take those references where God takes it very personal, how you treat other people, it just became a very personal thing to me. And I don't want to see, I really don't like seeing anyone suffer. And I always want to kind of help out when I see that. And, you know, it's one of the things, I had a conversation with my wife recently. I said, you know, we just got to keep in mind that our son, Danny, does not belong to us. It's number one God. And if anything bad would happen to him that's out of our control, I have to remember it's his first. And God cares more for my son than I do. So I can trust him with my son.
Yeah, there's something amazing about becoming a parent because you do begin to feel things for your children that you really didn't think about before. And it's such the perfect example of how God's heart must just break when his child is having a broken heart as well, to know that God is caring for you and crying for you as you were going through that time must be somewhat overwhelming.
It is. And if we really, you know, that's why I said, like, a lot of times we go through struggles because we don't know God. I think it's very important, you know, every struggle that I face and still go through, it's always usually tainted by, you know, or has in some relation, if I'm going through something bad, it's either I'm not, like, opening myself up to receive his love. Because, you know, it's funny, when you go through life and you feel like you got to struggle and you feel like you're not being heard or your prayer's not being heard, you kind of resort to, like, these tactics of, like, you know, these tactics that just aren't, I guess, escape tactics. I don't know how to explain it. But you just do things that aren't, that you just kind of have to resort to. But when you get in his love and you stay there, you don't have as much of a struggle. I was telling one time I was talking to some friends and I said, 99% of our battle is just knowing that God is for us. If we can just get in our mind that God is for us, then we usually won't put ourselves through the mental anguish that we put ourselves through when we're going through difficult times. Because if we know God's for us, then we'll be like, well, he's walking with me in this difficult time. And I don't have to wonder if he's there or not because he is there. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So there had to be times during the competition where you needed to talk to maybe other people about your faith or what you were going through. And I read that there were actually quite a few other Christ followers with you on the show that you could pray with or speak openly with. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, one of the closest friends that was trying out with me, there was a friend, his name is Jamal Rogers, and he didn't make it on the season that I was on. He got the top 50 with me. But he was real crucial during that time, during the top 50, because he helped me pray through some stuff. Because I fell into a real deep depression when I was going through the auditions. Not the first one, but there was three auditions in Hollywood that I really fell into a deep depression. He was really there for me. And, you know, as God would have it, he ended up last year being on The Voice and doing really well. I think taking fifth place on The Voice last year. But it was just amazing to have that support. And there were other believers on the show, which was cool.
Well, and it's got to be great to be able to have someone who kind of knows what you're going through. I mean, we all did as we watched you, but of course we can't exactly reach out. But I know a lot of us were pulling for you. And of course, after hearing your story and hearing you sing, we of course were praying for you as well. So I hope that was a bit of encouragement and that you felt that as you were competing.
I did. I had so much, you know, fan mail coming in and people, you know, sending their prayers. And I had so many people, you know, reaching out to me on my social networks. And, you know, I guess one of the coolest things about being on that show is when I took that step that I couldn't see in front of me, and I just went for the show, and there was a lot of stories that came out of it. People found strength in my story. And I was making mention before, like, when we see the whole picture, and sometimes God wants us to walk through these difficult times so that he can build a message within us. That's what he was doing with me. And that's why I guess these days I look at things differently, and I hopefully can encourage people listening in now that sometimes what we're going through is not about you. God has been able to trust you with where you're at, and he knows that you can get through it, and that once you get through it, a lot of people's lives are going to benefit. Like, for instance, there was a lady who was who wrote me, and I got to meet her, and her husband had just taken his life, you know, just a few months before the show aired. And the night that the show aired that I was on, she was getting ready to take her life, and because she just was ready to give up. And as she was getting ready to do it, she heard a man crying in another room. And she went in the other room, the TV was on, and it was me. And at that point, she just got down on her knees, and she just gave her life to God and said, God, I'm not going to do it. If this guy can get through this, I can get through it. And she's not the only one. There was many stories that came similar. There's people who had experienced loss or just walked through a devastating time. And when they saw me share my story, now remember, it's not about me, but they just saw the hope that I possessed. And that my hope is in God, of course. And they were able to take that step and keep moving forward and not fall into that pit of despair. So it's bigger than us. It's bigger than maybe some of the viewers listening right now. Maybe they're walking through something they do not want to go through. It might be bigger than you.
Yep, absolutely. We're talking with Danny Gokey today, and we'll be back in just a minute.
It ain't nothing but a number. Sometimes I have to wonder, what does it really mean? But hey, I'm still putting it together.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. You're listening to Danny Gokey, American Idol finalist, and also he's an author, musician and author of a new book called Hope in Front of Me, Find Purpose in Your Darkest Moments. And he's also founder of a charity called Sophia's Heart in honor of his late wife, an organization that's dedicated to helping the homeless and also offering music and arts programs for kids. If you have a question for Danny or you're listening saying, hey, I have something that I want to share, maybe a dark moment that you've had that has come to mind from this conversation, give us a call. We're at 1-877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or if you don't want to call in but you still have a comment to make, you can always log on online. Click on Connecting Faith, and you can email your comment that way, and we can get it on the air or have your question for Danny. Danny, thanks so much for joining us again.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to talk with you guys.
Well, you have some exciting news on the horizon, of course, since American Idol. Can you kind of share with us the album you have in the works and what's going on with Sophia's Place now?
Yeah, okay, so there's actually a few things. One of the cool things, and this is aside from the music and the organization, one of the cool things that I was able to do was I was able to get my own eyewear line. If people watch me on the show, they know that that I wore a lot of glasses. So I ended up signing an endorsement deal with a licensing deal with a company out of New York, and they created a men's eyewear line called Danny Gokey Eyewear, a women's eyewear line, and a sunglasses eyewear line. So we're in about probably about 1,500 stores around the States and in Mexico and in Canada. So that's been a cool thing. Now, as far as the music is concerned, I just signed a record deal with BMG Records back in May of this past year. So we've been in the studio pounding away on the record. And I've always seen my music as like a movement, even when I came off the show, you know, and it ties in really deeply into my organization, is that when I do a show, I want my show to be entertainment and hope. And it's kind of cool because there was a season that I walked through right after the show where I was signed with Sony Records and they split, and we ended up splitting. And that's when the organization started really growing. And now that I've signed this new record deal, I have homeless families that are living in our facility right now. We've had many successful testimonies. But I want to take these stories on the road and mix it with my music and with the music and now's piece with the kids. So I really feel like my next tour is going to be really what I've seen since day one, and that's when I get out and do a show, I get to entertain the crowds, but, you know, in between songs, we get the dark out moments at the show, and we can start airing, like, these MTV-style videos of these families who have come off the streets, and I can share with, through video, the stories of hope with the audience, you know, of the lady who used to be a prostitute, and now she's got her life back together, or the homeless man who was strung out on drugs, but now with Sophia's Heart, he's got himself back together, the kid who was involved in gangs, but now he's got hope and a dream through Sophia's Heart. And I really see my show coming together as just a very interactive show of entertainment and hope, and it's just moving along the way. So we're in the studio right now pounding out the music and creating some really great songs.
So back when you were thinking about auditioning for American Idol or dreaming about a music career, did you ever think that these two components would be able to come together, the love that you have for people who are struggling and your music?
No, actually, during that time, I never even thought of it. It all came to me, like, because remember, I never even thought I was going to experience loss. I never I mean, that was just a piece I never saw. Thank God that, like, his plan prevailed, you know, and he did it with my life. But when I was on the show, I started going to this organization called the Dream Center in L.A. One of the consulting companies I hired during this time with the insurance check, to help, because I knew we needed a solid foundation. And so I hired this consulting firm, and they were helping us get our feet, I guess, in the ground, and helping us get prepared for how a nonprofit runs and what we're going to do and narrowing down our vision. But one of the homework assignments they gave me was to listen to this guy named Matthew Barnett, who has the Dream Center in L.A. And immediately the first thing I did when I got out to L.A. after I made the show is I took a cab to his church. And this guy has 400,000 square feet in L.A. of, they're helping homeless teenagers. They're helping sexual traffic victims. They're helping pregnant teens and homeless families and the homeless community, drug addicts. And I felt like, I was like, you know what, I just really saw a vision coming together with my music mixing with those kind of stories, but obviously through Sophia's heart, and taking these stories on the road to provide entertainment and hope. And that's how the vision came together. And I remember when I got voted off the show that year in 2009, the last show, once you get voted off, you do an exit interview that airs on some channel on satellite TV. And anyways, they asked me, how do you see your music? And I said, at this point, I see it as a movement. And, you know, it's funny because when I said that, I knew it was inspired by God, because all I had was a piece of paper that said 501c3. And, and I made it through the show, which is great, but I had nothing with the nonprofit. And then a year and a half later after that, I get a free building. And now, fast forward to this point in my life, we've rehabilitated probably about 50 families off the street. And by next year, when we get fully funded, if we find people with like hearts that want to help fund our ministry, man, I'm telling you, we're going to be able to take over 100 families off the street each year, and just in Nashville alone, and I'm hoping to expand in other cities. But, man, I can't wait to take these stories on the road. It's going to be great.
What do you want people to know about the plight of the homeless that you think is maybe an untold story?
I think the biggest thing for me, you know, me and my wife, my wife, Leah said, who I got married to about 2 years ago, we had to move in the facility of Sophia's heart. I ended up selling the house faster than I could buy a house. And so we had nowhere to go, and so we moved into Sophia's heart. This is last year in 2012, but it was a God moment. And God put me there, because when I started seeing what they started going through, and, you know, yeah, they're putting these, you know, it's a building, it's better than the street, you know, but, and it really changed my view. And I said, man, we need to change how people look at homelessness. I had to change myself how I looked at homelessness. You know, yeah, we can give them food, we can give them shelter, but, you know, more than those things, what about their destiny? You know, when God rescues us, what does he say in Jeremiah 29:11? He says, I've given you a future and a hope. You know, so he's rescuing them at the point, but he's saying there's more than just rescue them. So with our families, there's more than just giving them food and shelter. We needed to take it to another level, and that's when we started designing the programs that helped them design their future. And that's why we started creating a beautiful place, because we knew God took it personal. And so I believe that Sophia's Heart is going to be in many locations. And I'm really hoping that we can just look differently as, what do we put them in? What kind of programming do we offer them? Do the workers really care? And also, you know, we need to not prejudge. If we judge, you know, when we judge, we don't have time to love. You know what I mean? And that's not a good thing. And so we need to stop saying, you know, well, they should just get a job and they should just, you know, stop panhandling. You know, there's deep-rooted issues. And sometimes these issues just don't come out with just a quick, you know, get a job or here's a dollar. There's sometimes we need to stand by their side and walk them through, and this takes years sometimes, because honestly, if we look at it, man, this world has just bruised them and broken them and scarred them.
So all of this, the way that you feel about the homeless, the dream that you have for your music, it had to be part of that whole process that you had for writing the book. What was that like to sit down and have to put your story on paper, knowing that other people were going to read about this pain and this journey that you were on, but then also get to the end and be able to feel hopeful? How personal was that process for you?
It was, you know, I think it's one of my favorite questions, because when people ask me, you know, was it difficult to write it? It really wasn't. You know why? Because I feel like God has given me so much good that my life is more sweet than it is bitter now. And so when I look back at my life and I sat down to write the book and started putting these points together, I was just writing from an aspect of, look, I've been here. And I know, you know, I might be young, and I know you might look at me as a person who was on American Idol, and maybe I don't have enough credit in people's eyes, but I've walked the line of life and death. You know, this life changes when you see someone's life teeter-totter between life and death and you lose them. Your whole focus changes. So when I sat down to write the book, there were some hard lessons I had to learn. And I wanted to bring these lessons into the book, these lessons of hope, and share with people that it's not over. What looks like the end is only the beginning. We must look at it through spiritual eyes, and we must look at it through the eyes of love, which is the eyes of God. And I just really want to encourage people and really let them know, man, that life can be better than you think it can be.
Well, Danny, we've loved just hearing part of your story, and we do have a couple of questions, and they actually have to do with American Idol. So after the break, I'm going to ask you a couple of those questions. I hope that that's okay, so we can find out a little bit more about your experience, and just love hearing your story. We're talking today with Danny Gokey. Danny founded an organization called Sophia's Heart in memory of his late wife, Sophia, that helps the homeless, as also introduces children to music, and so that they can learn from that as well. And also, Danny's written a great new book. It's called Hope in Front of Me, Finding Purpose in Your Darkest Moments, that tells about his experiences, not only on American Idol, but an experience losing his wife and how God helped him get through that. We're open to hear your questions, your comments. Give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. We're taking your calls, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith.
What are you willing to do to go beyond the call? This is Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global. Nabil is a living testament of God's love and faithfulness. Nabil is a young man committed to reaching people in North Africa with the gospel. Every day he deals with the reality that millions of young people in his area are trapped in spiritual darkness. But his calling to serve nearly cost him his life. His wife was arrested, and he was faced with a tough decision: turn himself in or go into hiding. He turned himself in. For 2 months, he endured beatings and hardships, but God was clearly with him. By God's grace, Nabil was released after paying a small fine. Now, you might think that after all this, he would stop preaching God's word. Oh, no. Nabil is still going strong despite the persecution. Stand up for Christ and go beyond the call. And then visit us online at hcjb.org.
Great to hear the music of Danny Gokey, and great to have you joining us on Connecting Faith. We have Danny joining us for this hour, telling us a lot about his life, his story, and of course sharing his music as well. Danny, I have an American Idol question for you, and I'm going to preface it with, you know, it must be difficult to stand up on stage and be voted off of something that, of course, you've invested so much of your time and your heart to, but I feel like maybe after what you went through, getting voted off was probably not the worst thing. Maybe that was God's way of preparing you. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, oh man, this is a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because had I won American Idol, I would have went to New York or L.A. because that's what you do. Since I took third place in the show, I really didn't have any intention in living in Nashville. But since a record label in Nashville decided to trigger their option with our contract, they decided to sign me. They happened to be in Nashville. It was the best thing that could happen, because it was in Nashville where the man gave me the free building, the 77,000 square foot, $4 million facility for free. And I just look, I'm like, man, God, even in your sovereignty then, like, if I would have won, I would have missed out that big blessing. And, there's a purpose for that. And like you said, when I did not get enough votes to stay on the show, I literally just, I sang my last song and I went back. They make you sit down with a psychologist.
Oh, goodness.
After you lose, because the pressure is so intense that they know that you can do crazy stuff after. And I remember I just sat in his office room, because you got to do a bunch of interviews after you get voted off. And I sat in his room, and I just let it all come out. I had nothing to say to him, honestly. I had nothing to say to him. I just wanted to just finally pull the plug off, because at this time I was being accused for leveraging my wife to get on the show, and people just had me all wrong. You know what I mean? And people were just accusing me of things I didn't do. I mean, not everyone. Obviously, a lot of people, a lot more people love me. But, you know, for some reason, I got caught up on the internet. The one thing to tell you not to do on the show is don't Google yourself. Well, guess what? The first thing you're going to do when they tell you not to do it, all of a sudden your curiosity sparks and you're like, I'm going to Google myself.
There's nothing good that comes out of Googling yourself.
There isn't. If you ever want to lose heart in humanity, go and just read comments on blogs or read comments on YouTube pages. It's atrocious that people have to have these arguments on these blogs and on commenting. So I was reading comments, and that's when I started learning that people didn't like me and that there was this really deep core of American Idol fans that would hate you at all costs, you know, for their fan favorite. So anyways, I came up the show very happy, and then God even had a bigger plan, and I'm embracing it right now.
It's funny. My dad always had a saying when I would worry about, oh, who's saying what or thinking what about me, and he would say, you know, you'd worry a lot less about what people thought of you if you realized how little they actually do.
Yeah. You know, who just said that saying? You know, if you don't want people talking about you, then do nothing, be nothing, say nothing, and become nothing.
Oh.
Then no one will ever talk about you. But you know what? I've learned to be real tough, and I don't care what people say. You know, I can make this whole world happy, but if I don't make God happy, forget it. Ain't even worth it.
Right. Well, I have another comment or question that came in. Thomas says, it seems like being a star is one of the biggest goals and desires of so many of us today. But I'm guessing you can answer, is that where our worth really comes from? Where our worth comes from.
You know what? It's interesting. If you want to be absolutely not, it's not where your worth comes from. But if there's a lot of people who say it doesn't come from that, but it does come from that. And if your worth comes from what people think about you and what people say about you, your life will be a constant looking for the next high of what someone is saying about you. It's a very dangerous place to be, a people pleaser. You know, you can gain the whole world, you can gain the approval of the whole world, and you can lose your soul and yourself in the process. It's not worth it. I'm telling you, what's more important than, I'd rather have God think good about me and me accomplishing what he wants me to do than have 7 billion people falling at my feet tell me how good I am. Hmm.
Well, that's a very humble thing to say. We'd rather have both for you.
Well, you get what I'm saying. And you get what I'm saying. If I could just get that one thing right, I just do what God wants me to do, I'll have more lovers than I'll have haters. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree. Well, what can we expect to see from you in the months ahead?
You can expect me to have different glasses on my face for sure with the new eyewear line. New music. You know, if people want to learn more about what I'm doing, they can follow me on Twitter at Danny Gokey or Facebook, Danny Gokey Official. I always give a lot of updates. I share stories and testimonies. You know, we just released a book recently, and a dollar from every book, Hope in Front of Me, that sells goes to Sophia's Heart. There's a lot of work that needs to be done with Sophia's Heart. And for a national vision, I need a lot of support. And so I'm going to keep growing that. But my music and my tour and the movement that I see, that's getting ready to I believe, jump off very soon here. And it's I expect to have more kids, too. You know, I love children. I want to adopt. I want to have, like, a plethora. I'm going to start going up against them duggers for the title.
I love the word plethora. And I don't think I've ever heard it when talking about children. So I'm going to use that one for sure. So given what you've experienced, I'm guessing that you've kind of moved into that area where you're not making your plans and hoping you achieve it, but instead you are settling back and being still and knowing that God is going to control this next step that you make. Can you just talk a little bit about that process? Because I'm guessing you look at the world a little bit differently than other people do who are setting their minds on the things of this world.
Yeah, like I said earlier, when you walk the line of life and death, you think differently because you know how fragile life is. At any moment, a doctor can say you have this disease, or at any moment, a car crash can happen, or something can happen at any moment. And I really live and try to live from an eternal perspective. Now, it just doesn't come easy every day, but you have to remind yourself that, you know what, we're preparing for eternity. And everything we do here, when we get to heaven, there's nothing more we can say except all that we said everything and did everything that is that'll be counted on earth. And when you get to heaven, there's no more to be said. And so I really try to keep that eternal perspective. And but remember, like, this whole earth is like a mirage. All the devil can do is give you a desert painted as a paradise. You know what I mean? And it can look good, it can feel good, but remember, it's passing away. I remember when I was 20, I never thought I'd hit 30. I'm 30, in my 30s now. Never thought that day would come. Life is passing by, so we must use it wisely. What is it? David said, he said, Lord, you know, help me to, you know, keep this perspective in mind of how many days are on earth so that I don't waste it with fleeting things.
Speaking of perspective, how have your prayers changed when you found that your prayer for healing didn't get answered? Is there a way that you pray differently or feel differently about God and what he has planned?
That's a great question. I still do believe that God is a healer. You know, even though he didn't heal my wife, or was supposedly, because she's healed. She's in heaven. She's alive. Mm-hmm. She's more healed and more alive than she's ever been. But just because it didn't come to pass on earth, it's changed my view of timing, I guess. And also, I guess the statement, you know, in order to have the best plan for your life, you have to let go of what you think is the best plan in order to embrace the best plan that God has for you. And honestly, in this time, I didn't see no future in what I was going through. But I saw God has even done something bigger and greater with my brokenness than I can ever imagine. So I do look at it differently, and I try to be more sensitive, and I try to take my desire and my will out of it a lot and just take God at his word. And I try to open my eyes to the spiritual things. God, what are you doing in this situation, as opposed to, God, do this right now. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think that sometimes when we're praying or thinking about what to pray for, it's us coming up with our plan and then asking God to bless it. And it seems like your life has really been a testament of, God, what do you have next, and how can I walk into it?
It helps you avoid disappointment, because when you're so set on what you think is right for you, that you'll be disappointed when it doesn't come to pass. And that's why it's like having that eternal perspective and sitting down and being still and waiting and say, okay, God, what are you doing here, so that I can jump on with you, so I don't build my hope up so high that it's just I fall flat on my face when it doesn't come to pass.
I have one more American Idol question for you. Can you tell us what was just your favorite experience or your favorite story from that experience?
Ooh, that's a difficult one.
I know, it's big. It's a very big question. So
it is, because there are so many good things happening. I guess for me, my favorite experience was everywhere I went, people wanted autographs and pictures. And that was like, whoa, people know who I am. Here I am, this little Midwestern boy who used to drive a semi-truck and just try to sing in Milwaukee. Now all of a sudden people are saying, I love your music, you know, and just complimenting me. I mean, I think that was cool. I mean, and then we're schmoozing with all the big wigs in L.A. and ooh, you know what I mean? It's like, I thought that was very interesting. You know, obviously walking through what I went through, I felt like I put it in good perspective, because I was like, I remember just thinking like, this is all fake. You know what I mean? I remember just thinking that. But I had fun enjoying the fakeness of L.A. for the moment and all the food that came along with it, because I like to eat. And we went and had the finest restaurants. I mean, people were just trying to schmooze to get to us, you know, through the executives of the show, and we were just eating it all up.
So now you are one of those bigwigs, of course. So you have young people all across the country who are wondering, how can that possibly happen for me? Or what if I have a dream, whether it's singing or something else? What would you say to encourage them?
Here's what I say. Delight yourself in God, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Because it's, you know, that's what I did. I remember when I was leading praise and worship for my pastor, and he had me at two locations. And I remember when I was driving a semi-truck because they couldn't afford to pay me. So I'm working 80 hours a week. But I knew God had called me to do the music. I remember, this is what I told God when I was younger. I said, God, I felt like in my 20s, I felt like God wanted me to give my music to him. And if I would just put it in his hands, he would do something significant with it. So it's interesting. I never really tried to get a music career until I was inspired that year. And obviously looking back, the year I tried out, I was inspired by God that year to finally go try it. So I spent most of my life just submitting my gift to God and just saying, God, do with it as you please. And I was not disappointed. A lot of times we chase things that God has, that will destroy us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of young people chasing after this dream, but it's going to destroy you. And when it doesn't happen, you get disappointed, yet God is saving you. So you just got to delight yourself in him. Let him shape your heart. Let him do what he wants to do. Remember, he's God, and he made you, and he'll give you the best plan for your life. Just give it to him and let him do it.
Can you give one more just way for people who might want to be involved in Sophia's Heart, in that organization? Maybe they want to give. Maybe they have another $7 million building that they want to donate in another city somewhere. I mean, you never know who's listening. I just want you to tell us, how can we get more information on that or get involved in giving?
I think the best way, like yesterday, we just took in a homeless family yesterday, a 19-year-old married couple. They're both 19 and they're homeless. And thank God for this facility that a man, and you know what, I don't even think it was a Christian man, just a man gave me this facility. And but thank God, because there's so many people being rescued, but there's more like that all over America. You know, my vision, I believe God has put in my heart, is to take this thing across the states. Because I want to change the way we look at it, and I want to make sure that we give them the best. But it takes so much money. You know, my wife and I, we I'm going to tell you this, it takes a lot of hands to do God's work. And Sophia's Heart, we independently audit ourselves every year. I do not take a salary from Sophia's Heart. One of the things that I do is I do it on Tarot, because I've been able to make income my own way. But people can trust, when they give to Sophia's Heart, that the money is going to the cause. We are a debt-free organization. And we, last year, our, we had an independent company come through, and we were 82% into programming and 18% into administration. I just think, you know, we honestly do need help. You know, we struggle every day. You know, my monthly bill at Sophia's Heart is around $50,000 a month, and we only have about $5,000 that comes in residually. But thank God, when he starts it, he finishes it. And every month, you know, for the most part, we're getting our $45,000 miracle, but we need it to happen every month. We're a new organization, 2 years old, but I'm not going to let that newness stop me. And the people can go to sophiasheart.org. Follow me on Facebook or Twitter, because that's where you'll find the most information.
Okay, excellent. We're so glad that you gave us that. And again, tell us how they can find you if they want to get a great snazzy pair of eyewear, or if they want to just find out more about your music. How can they find you?
All right, so go to DannyGoki.com. You can find out all the information on the music, the eyewear, the Sophia's Heart. There's links there, and everything that's going on. You can go there. Follow me on Twitter, Danny Goki, Facebook, Danny Goki Official. And thank you guys so much.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. I know you have a plane to catch, so I will let you go, and you can run out and enjoy the next part of your life for today. Thanks so much for just being open and authentic with us today and telling us how God is working in your life. Danny, we really appreciate it.
One more thing, Jennifer. Just one more thing. If people want to know, the book, a dollar from every book does go to Sophia's Heart. So you can find the book in retailers or online. But thank you again. And there's more information on the book on DannyGoki.com as well.
Absolutely. Have a great day, Danny. Bless you.
Thank you so much. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
We've been talking to Danny Goki. He is the author of Hope in Front of Me, Find Purpose in Your Darkest Moments. A fascinating story of an American Idol finalist who lost his wife a couple of weeks before that he auditioned for that show. And, of course, what he went through, what God inspired in him and has, of course, allowed him to do through his life and through that pain that he's gone through. So we're so glad that you were able to join us. Thanks for the questions that you posed and just for being able to listen to Danny and his music. Also, a couple of other mentions. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. We're giving away a one-week retreat for a pastor and their spouse. If you'd like to enter your pastor, please go online and do so. It's a wonderful free giveaway and a way to honor those who work so hard for you. Thanks again for joining us on Connecting Faith, and have a great day.